Welcome to the Not Old Better Show, Smithsonian Associates interview series on radio and podcast. The show covering all things health, wellness, culture, and more. The show for all of us who aren't old, we're better. Each week, we'll interview superstars, experts, and ordinary people doing extraordinary things, all related to this wonderful experience of getting better, not just older. Now, here's your host, the award-winning Paul Vogelzang.
Welcome to today's episode of the Not Old Better Show, Smithsonian Associates interview series on radio and podcast. I'm Paul Vogelzang, and on today's show, we delve into the fascinating intersection of nature, health, and science through the lens of one of the most overlooked yet pivotal components of our ecosystem, fungi, mushrooms, and mold. We have the privilege of hosting Smithsonian Associate Nicholas P. Bunny, a distinguished professor of biology at Miami University in Ohio and a leading voice in the field of mycology. Smithsonian Associate Nicholas P. Money will be appearing at Smithsonian Associates coming up, so please check out our show notes today for more details about Nick Money's full presentation. But we have Nick Money today to tell us all about molds, mushrooms, and medicine, which is the title of his presentation and Nick Money's new book. Nicholas Money is here to discuss his upcoming Smithsonian Associates presentation, Molds, Mushrooms, and Medicines, and to share insights from his compelling new book, Molds, Mushrooms, and Medicines, Our Lifelong Relationship with Fungi. In our conversation today, Dr. Nicholas P. Money will guide us on a journey into the marvelous, unseen realm of fungi, revealing how these organisms are intricately woven into the fabric of our lives, aiding digestion, battling disease, and even challenging our perceptions of health and medicine. Today, Smithsonian Associate Dr. Nick Money will explore the dual nature of fungi as both vital allies and formidable foes, the intricate dance between our immune system and the microbiome, and the groundbreaking research into psychedelics for treating depression. Whether you're intrigued by the science behind fungi or interested in the implications for health and wellness, especially as we age, or simply curious about the natural world, this episode promises to shed light on the critical role fungi play in our world and how they continue to shape our health, culture, and future. Join us for a captivating discussion with Dr. Nicholas P. Money that promises not only to inform, but also transform the way you think about the natural world and its profound impact on our lives. Nicholas P. Money, welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I thank you for your time. We're going to talk today about your new book, Molds, Mushrooms, and Medicines, which you've shared with me, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I have learned so much. I know our audience is going to learn a great deal at your upcoming Smithsonian Associates presentation. And I wonder if we just start there. Maybe tell us, Dr. Money, what will you be sharing with our audience? You'll be engaging our audience with Zoom. We're all on Zoom these days. How do you propose to get us excited using all?
Yeah, with that. Somewhat challenging format. Having been a professor and taught through the pandemic, I should be familiar with this. But what I'm going to do in the presentation is address, I suppose, the subtitle of the book, which is our lifelong relationship with the fungi. So what interested me in as I worked on this book was the human fungus symbiosis. So our relationship with these organisms, the near and the far. So what I'll do is to begin by introducing the microbiome, which is the fungal part of the microbiome that reaches all the way from the surface of our body to the interior of the digestive system. But then what I want to explore, as I do in the second part of the book, is to look outwards and to look at this relationship as it works beyond the body. So we can talk more about that, but that's the essential brief here, is to look at just the multitude of ways in which the human body, the ways in which we interact with fungi.
And I appreciate that, and thank you very much, because you used two terms there, microbiome and then mycobiome. And so we'll get into a little bit of that with our with our conversation today, but I wondered if you'd tell us about, you know, kind of the world of fungi and why it's so crucial for us to understand this, because there is a relationship, certainly internally, but there's one externally as well. And as a mycologist, you'll help us understand that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, our relationship with the fungi then is our relationship with the fungi is important, both in terms of the fungi that we interact with directly through those organisms that grow on and in the body. So the fungi that grow on the skin and in the digestive system. So that's significant. I mean, the body is teeming with fungi, and we need most of these organisms to stay there. But also then, we use fungi as a source of food and medicines. We're becoming very interested in the use of fungi as a source of psychotropic compounds, so magic mushrooms and their psilocybin produced by magic mushrooms. And then all the way to the ecological activities of the fungi that really make life on the surface of the earth possible for us. So this is an essential relationship.
Your new book, and I mentioned it, Molds, Mushrooms, and Medicine, and then a great subtitle, Our Lifelong Relationship with Fungi. I really enjoyed it, and it goes into some really wonderful detail that's, I think, excellent for our audience. I can't recommend it enough, but you talk about this dual nature of the fungi as being a benefactor, but then potentially being a harbinger of disease. I wonder if you just maybe give us a couple of examples about how fungi is essential to our health and well-being, and then on the other hand, how it poses a real risk.
Right, and that's a great question. So if we think about the fungi that grow on the skin and then also fungi that grow in the gut, the evidence that we have is that they, this is not very eloquent, is it? The evidence is that these fungi help to keep the bacteria in check. So we know that fungi, filamentous fungi, are a potent source of antibiotics, and maybe we'll talk about penicillin later in this conversation. But that's what they're also producing these compounds naturally on and in the body, and so they're helping to control, to cultivate this amazingly complex ecosystem of microorganisms with which we exist. So that's one of the positives here, is that they keep this ecosystem, they contribute to its stability. But then particularly when our immune systems are damaged, when our immune defenses are impaired, then there are some of the same fungi that grow on the body normally and in a healthy fashion can cause really serious infections. And indeed, some of the illnesses, these mycoses, fungal infections, can threaten our lives. And in fact, globally, we're looking at maybe 1.5 million deaths that are attributed to fungal infections each year now, globally.
Fascinating work. We hear about the microbiome a fair bit today. It's, you know, all about gut health, I suppose. We hear that term associated with gut health. It probably isn't quite so relevant for you. But we also learn in your new book about the mycobiome. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit, kind of take that from a lay perspective and tell us what the mycobiome is and how it interacts with our immune system and some of the implications to our health.
Yeah. So the microbiome, mm-hmm. I mean, we become very familiar with this term, mm-hmm. and it's most closely associated with the trillions of bacteria that grow in the human gut. But what it really describes is the whole panoply of different microorganisms that grow on the human body and in our digestive system. So that includes viruses, and it also includes the fungi. So this term microbiome is probably less familiar to listeners. But the microbiome then is the fungal component of of the microbiome. So mm-hmm. most of that exists in the form of yeasts in the gut. And indeed, there are billions of yeasts that are passing through the human gut at any one moment. And because fungal cells are really big, they're the giants of the microbial world, their total surface area is immense. I mean, I calculated that it represents something like the surface of an 8-person dining room table that's moving through the intestine at any moment. So that provides an immense surface area for interactions with the immune system that's enriched in the gut. And so that probably goes a long way to explaining how such a relatively small number of cells, billions of fungi versus trillions of bacteria, can really have a profound effect upon our health and influences a number of chronic conditions.
Molds and yeasts are all part of this too, correct?
Yep, I should have explained that. So,
well, that's,
so
that, oh, yeah, please.
Yeasts and molds.
Yeah.
Molds and yeasts, they're really different growth forms that are produced by fungi. So the yeasts, including those that we use for brewing beer and making wine, they actually grow by producing buds on their surface. So these rounded cells, these blobs that produce daughter cells on their surface. The filamentous fungi grow as these microscopically thin, I mean, they're 10 times thinner than a human hair, these filaments that we call hyphae. And they grow, they extend at their tips, and they branch, and they form colonies that we call mycelia. So that's the essential difference between yeasts and molds. But there are some species of fungi that can grow in both growth forms at different times and according to the prevailing conditions.
Mm-hmm. Should we seek these out? Should we incorporate them into our diets? I mean, as you say, the, you know, we know yeast, for example, is used in beer making. It's also used in bread, you know, rising and a number of things. Is it the kind of thing that we need to pursue, though, actively try to, you know, get into our diet in a larger manner? Or is there enough of it that we're, you know, okay in just kind of eating the
way we're... It's impossible to avoid fungi in our diets. I mean, mm-hmm. if we think about fungi in cheeses, if we think about the role of fungi in producing all kinds of fermented foods that are used in Asian cuisine, and soy sauce is a fungal product, for example. Tempeh is produced by a filamentous fungus. So they're really everywhere in our diet. The advantage, perhaps, of sort of deliberately incorporating these fermented foods in our diet is that it's diversifying the sources of food that we're eating every day, and that seems to be associated with a healthy lifestyle. Many listeners may have heard of quorn or other forms of mycoprotein, that these fungal nuggets that are a great substitute for chicken nuggets. So, as a way of reducing meat in the diet, introducing mycoprotein into our grocery shopping might be a very good thing to do.
So it's actually called mycoprotein.
It's a mycoprotein, so made from a filamentous fungus, filamentous fungus called Fusarium, and it's marketed under Quorn is the major manufacturer of this that we can find in American grocery stores.
Hi, it's Paul. Do you love entertaining, informative, eclectic, insightful programs about culture, health, science, life, and everything Smithsonian? As part of our Smithsonian Associates interview series on radio and podcast, we're introducing you to the new Smithsonian Associates streaming series. Smithsonian, a nonprofit organization, is excited to present this new aspect of their 55 years as the world's largest museum-based educational program. Join us from the comfort of your home as we periodically interview Smithsonian Associate guest speakers. Our audience here on radio and podcast can explore our website for more information, links, and details at notold-better.com. Thanks, everybody. Our guest today is Dr. Nicholas Money. Dr. Money is a professor of biology at Miami University, is a Smithsonian Associate. We'll be presenting at Smithsonian Associates coming up. We'll have details about Dr. Money and his upcoming presentation in our show notes today. Please check that out. I mentioned the book Molds, Mushrooms, and Medicines, Our Lifelong Relationship with Fungi by Dr. Money. It's just getting great reviews online. I appreciate you sharing it with me, Dr. Money. I really enjoyed it. I want to recommend it to our audience, but many beyond me are saying really great things about it. Michael Hathaway says that with an encyclopedic knowledge, a contagious curiosity, and a great sense of humor, Nicholas Money has written another wonderful guide to the fantastic world of fungi. Yet, this time we look within and upon the human body to explore the teeming fungal diversity that shapes our daily existence in ways that remain powerful, yet mysterious. Michael Hathaway has written the book, What a Mushroom Lives For. And I found this mention of you on your website that you are a biologist and a science writer, and that you belong to a species of African ape and lives on a planet that is 4.6 billion years old. And I thought, that says a lot about you. I think you do have a nice sense of humor. So really, I appreciate your time. But I want to talk about one other serious aspect within the book, and that's has to do with chapter 9 on depression. The chapters are all really engaging, and they're well titled, because they talk about touching the fungi and breathing the fungi, as well as this aspect of depression that you talk about in chapter 9. And we hear about this subject too, about magic mushrooms and perhaps the use of magic mushrooms in treating depression. There's clinical examples of this. There's real science behind it. And I wonder if you'd talk for a second or two about the current research and what it says about this field, because it's evolving. And I think it's viewed as perhaps an alternative medicine, but maybe it isn't. Maybe this is so mainstream that we need to know more about it and embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming increasingly mainstream with so many states actually legalizing the use of psilocybin, which is this compound produced by a particular group of psychedelic mushrooms. I mean, there's so much interest in this topic. There's growing evidence for the efficacy of psilocybin in the treatment of depression that really doesn't respond to many of the prescription medicines that have been used for many years to treat this condition. Also, psilocybin has uses in treating PTSD and other psychiatric conditions. And also, interestingly, in helping patients confront their terminal illness, which is just fascinating. It's not for everyone, though. Mm-hmm. So there's a small subset of patients that suffer very frightening experiences when they take psilocybin. And that really requires some more studies. So this isn't something that's going to be for everyone. But the results really have been remarkable in recent years, and just the evidence seems to keep growing that this might be a useful therapy for many of us. I mean, it raises the question, too, about why so many Americans, so many humans are unhappy. But perhaps this is the natural condition of Homo sapiens.
Yes, maybe. I do think, though, our audience will be particularly interested in knowing more about this from you. And you do refer to this in Chapter 9 very effectively, and you really just say to shroom or not to shroom. And I wonder if you just give us maybe another example of the powerful efficacy that you came across in your research. You were finding people that really benefited from this. Maybe tell us about some of those.
Yeah, I mean, there are case studies then of people that have been really helped by psilocybin therapy. There's some evidence now that it might be useful in treating anorexia nervosa and other conditions. So yeah, it's we're really just at the beginning of this studying the use of magic mushrooms in modern medicine. And
fascinating. Thank you for that. So where do you see this going in terms of the contributions to medical treatments and technologies? Where are some of the technologies going in this direction that you see on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, we have the discovery of the first antibiotics produced by fungi all the way back in the 1920s with penicillin. And I think that we're on the verge now of entering, I mean, this is perhaps being optimistic, but, you know, maybe a new era of fungal medicine when we're actually looking and finding many, many different compounds that can be brought to bear against a number of different illnesses. There's some really interesting work that's done in the area of genome mining, which enables us to actually look at the DNA of fungi and actually see what they're manufacturing or what they might manufacture in nature. And then actually looking at those metabolic pathways and thinking about ways in which we can manipulate those to produce some pharmacologically active compounds. But there hasn't been much of this work yet, and there needs to be a lot more of this. You know, we had the discovery of these antibiotics, but if we think about what fungi do in nature, which is to interact with other organisms in the woods and to water. I mean, they're continually competing with other microorganisms. They have to be producing a sort of galaxy of different compounds that may or may not be useful in treating our illnesses.
I wonder, in your research, what you learned personally, maybe some insights and perhaps some recommendations for our audience about this subject. And it would be, I think, really great for our audience to hear how this might have, you know, changed your direction in terms of your course of study and your own personal well-being.
Yeah, just recently, I actually suffered from a rather serious dental infection. And I think my tooth, or probably my life perhaps, was saved by penicillin, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Going back to the 1920s, I mean, that makes me just worship this. Mm-hmm. This was one of the fruits, one of the triumphs of Western medicine. I think we forget about the power of antibiotics still. We're worried about antibiotic-resistant bacteria, but still these fungal products have really transformed our trajectory. And yeah, hats off to that penicillin. It's a miracle drug. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess last question for you on this Friday afternoon, and we'll set you off on your weekend. Where should our audience go to find out more? We'll put a link to your own website. And that, of course, is your name, mycobiologist, and associated with Nicholas P. Money. We'll have that in our show notes, as well as links to Dr. Money's upcoming Smithsonian Associates presentation. But how should our audience find out about safely engaging with some of these mushrooms and molds and learning about foraging and cultivation? Your book does a great job of that. What else would you suggest?
Well, I mean, there is a wealth of information about the fungi online. You know, just through a simple Google search, we'll come up with the almost universe of information about the fungi. But beyond that, I would say that actually getting out in nature and looking for mushrooms, and perhaps going a stage further than that, and actually looking for molds, and actually using a microscope to actually look at some samples that you collect in the woods. I think this is something that more of us should be doing. And then for being a guide for children, whether or not you're a teacher, actually taking young people out into nature and introducing them to the diversity of the microbial world, in addition to looking at insects and plants and birds and so forth, we need to pay more attention to the fungi.
Getting out and about is wonderful in and of itself, and you can kind of turn it into exploration and discovery at the same time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, Dr. Nicholas P. Money, thank you so much for your time. Again, Dr. Money is author of the excellent new book, Molds, Mushrooms, and Medicine. Smithsonian Associate Dr. Nicholas P. Money will be at Smithsonian Associates coming up. The links will be in our show notes today so that you can find out all those details. Thanks for being so generous with your time, and congratulations on this book. We look forward to your upcoming presentation at Smithsonian Associates, Dr. Money.
Very good. Good to talk with you this afternoon.
Thank you. My thanks to Nicholas P. Money, Smithsonian Associate, who will be appearing at Smithsonian Associates coming up. The title of his presentation is Molds, Mushrooms, and Medicines, Our Lifelong Relationship with Fungi. For more information about Dr. Nicholas Money's Smithsonian Associates presentation, please check out our show notes today. My thanks to the Smithsonian team for all they do to support the show. My thanks to you, our wonderful audience here on radio and podcast. And my thanks to executive producer Sam Henniger. Please be well, be safe, and let's talk about better. The Not Old Better Show, Smithsonian Associates interview series on radio and podcast. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week.